W-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
But can you imagine being in a relationship with someone, being like, I'm really struggling with grief. I need the support of my partner. And he's like, but a bulldozer. But like, me and the boys are going to go crush shit in the backyard. Me and the boys want to do parkour. So like, I'm so sorry that you're having a bad time, but like, I really have to go do a kickflip. I'm like, I am going to pull all of my hair out strand by strand.
Invited, so call me back.
Okay, love you.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the weekly slumber party for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbeck, who is wearing her I voted early sticker loud and proud in this episode because I went and voted early, ranked Zohran Mamdani in my number one position for New York City mayor, and God, does it feel good. Does it feel good to get out there and vote for a candidate that I actually fucking like? How exciting is that? That's awesome. Really just feeling so charged up by Zohran's whole campaign, feeling so optimistic, so excited. Early voting runs from now until June 22nd, and the primary election day is on June 24th. New Yorkers need you. Your neighbors need you. If you don't yet have a plan to vote in the New York City mayoral election, it's time to make one, baby, because we got to get out there, vote Zohran number one, and do not rank Andrew Cuomo at all. It's good to fill out your ballot completely and rank as many people as you feel comfortable ranking, just not under any circumstances, Andrew Cuomo. We do not want to rank Andrew Cuomo at all. Boy, does it feel good. This sticker is serving on this fine Tuesday afternoon as I'm filming this. I'm heading to Greece in a couple days with 24 of you guys, and I literally could not be more excited for this year's third annual but fourth time. What do you call that? You know, this has really bothered me for some time because it's the third year that we're doing the International Lover Girls Convention, the International Lover Girls Meetup. A week-long vacation of Lover Girls internationally. It's the third year, but it's the fourth trip. Because during the first year, I did two trips back-to-back, one to Italy, one to Greece. Last summer, we went to Spain. This summer, we're going back to Greece, but we're going to a different part. So I'm always like, it's the third annual, but it's the fourth. I'm like, there has to be an easier way to say this. Because I want to be like the fourth annual, but I'm like, but it's not. It's the third annual, but the first annual was just double, you know? It's just different. There's been four trips. The fourth international conference for lover girls worldwide. We got to come up with a snappier name here. Well, it'll come to me eventually. We'll get there soon enough. So I'm getting so excited heading to Greece, Crete specifically, with 24 of you guys, and we're going to have the best fucking time ever. I literally could not be more excited to be somewhere beautiful eating Greek food. Greek food. I honestly, and I said this back then 2 years ago, but when I went to Greece for the first time, and it was that year that I went to Italy and then Greece back to back, I was more excited for the food in Italy. Because obviously Italian food's probably my favorite kind of food. But after coming home from those two trips, I actually was more impressed with Greek food than I was with the Italian food. And that's not to say that the food in Italy wasn't fantastic. The food in Italy was fantastic. But living in New York, I felt like I've had a lot of really great Italian food here. Now, that is I'm sure, not true for many other places in the world. The Italian food probably doesn't compare, but I'm just saying, I thought New York Italian food compared to Italian food. There's a lot of Italians here, okay? They know what's going on. So when I went to Greece and tried true, authentic Greek food, I felt like I was being transported to another dimension. I had never had Greek food in New York that tasted as great as that. And since then, I have found a couple Greek spots in New York that I do love, thank God, because after coming home from Greece that time, I had such a fucking craving for Greek food. It was nonstop. It was insatiable. And thank God I was able to find some Greek spots in New York that are fantastic. But I am so excited to just be back in the place where it happens, people. I'm so excited. I love lemon. I love citrus. And the Greeks understand that. The Greeks understand the power of citrus. I mean, so do Italians. But there was something about that Greek food specifically that I was like, ooh, wait, this is too good. So I'm so excited to be back in Greece, looking sexy, eating delicious food, getting in some much needed bestie hours. It's going to be literally the best time ever. Literally, it's going to be an amazing week. Yes, it is. I can't believe I didn't talk about this on last week's episode, but Love Island is back. Dun, dun. And I'm whole again. You don't understand. I am a fraction of a woman during the off season of Love Island. Love Island UK specifically. I'm sorry. You're not going to sell me on Love Island US. I don't give a fuck. If I watch it, it'll be in the fall. But the thing is that I said the same thing about it last year because everyone was losing their mind about Love Island US. And I was like, no shot. I'm loyal to UK. I'm not watching it. I tried to watch it during the fall and I was just like, it's just not the same. It is actually difficult for me to get into American dating shows. Sorry. I don't know. Maybe I'll watch it this year after the fact, but you cannot get me to watch it live. I'm not going to because I'm too committed to watching Love Island UK live. My thing is, like, I used to log on to social media and get so excited scrolling through all these posts of people talking about Love Island. And now I'll be scrolling and I'll see a post that's about Love Island. I'll be like, oh, yeah, let's lock in. Let's get into the weeds. Let's look in that comment section. Like, let's get into it. And then I realized they're talking about Love Island US. And I'm like, what the hell? Why are all of you talking about the wrong Love Island? How do I block this off my feed? And it's confusing because they just, like, it's airing at the same time. All the words we're going to use to describe it are the same. You have to just memorize the names and they have to be different names. And then you have to be like, it's like I'm watching this reel or this TikTok of someone talking about Love Island. And I might even think they're talking about UK until they say a name that I'm like, wait a minute, I don't think we got someone named Huda on this season of UK yet. But everyone has the same fucking names anyway, so it's deeply confusing. I already can't keep track of everybody's names. So then when all of a sudden I'm watching a TikTok and I'm like, is there someone with this name on UK right now? Or are they talking about US? I don't know. I can't keep track. You guys are pissing me off. I don't think that anybody should talk about Love Island US on the internet. I don't. Not on my internet. Don't talk about it here. Ugh, who wants to see that? No one wants to watch Americans date. Do I look like I want to watch people I graduated high school with date on reality TV? No. I've said this 100 times. I want to watch people date that are not in the same dating pool as me. I love when they say words that I can't understand. Love Island is not the same if you don't have to watch it with subtitles on because you have no idea what they're fucking saying sometimes. That makes it more fun. That makes it so much more fun. I don't want to recognize anybody on my television. I'm half joking and half not. The only people that are allowed to talk about Love Island US to me are people who are also watching UK. If you're watching both, you're allowed to talk about it. If you're only watching US, I don't want to hear nothing. Okay? Zip it. You got to respect your elders, babe. If you are not dedicated to Love Island UK, watched all the seasons, understand the vibes, are currently watching Love Island UK, I don't want to hear you talk about Love Island US. Sorry, this is my unreasonable take of the year. I don't give a fuck. And if I start watching Love Island US 6 months from now, mind your fucking business. mind your fucking business. All I'm saying is right now, when the Islanders are back in the villa and things are getting hot and steamy, babes, I don't want to hear nothing about what's going on in the American villa. I don't care, babes. I don't care. Okay. I want to watch. My accent's gotten so bad because I'm out of practice here. Right? Because every time I open up my phone, I'm forced to listen to American Love Island. Who wants that? Who wants that? Who asked for that, babes? I'm going bonkers. I'm out me head. I'm out me head. Nah. Nah, babes. Not me. You've got the wrong girl. Why would I watch Love Island US when I could watch Love Island UK and have a much better time, babes? Why would I do that? Why? Riddle me this. Riddle me this. So anyways, in conclusion, no, I'm not watching Love Island US. Don't ask me to. I'm knees deep in watching Love Island UK, as I always am. Wouldn't miss a season, babe. For the world, for the life of me. And I am annoyed. Really, this is what it comes down to, is that I'm annoyed that I cannot find content about Love Island UK, or that I have to try so much harder to find content about Love Island UK, because it's confusing with all the names and it happens at the same time. It's like, oh, this season of Love Island. I'm like, which one? And I only know if I memorize everybody's fucking names, which is already hard enough because half of them look the same. And there's, on this season of UK, there's a Meg and a Megan. Huh? Why? Could we not find anyone else? It's just too complicated. It's too complicated. And imagine if they add on a Meg or a Megan to this season of US. Then I'm fucked. Then I'm never going to be able to figure it out. Reddit is my safe space for this. I can log on to the Love Island Reddit and consume content with the right group of people that are consuming the same show that I am, that I don't have to decode to make sure that we're talking about the same show. It's just, everything is so complicated and it's pissing me off. And the only people that are exempt from my rage are the people that are somehow watching both US and UK and are keeping it straight within their own minds. You guys are stronger than the troops and I love ya. Okay. Godspeed. Me though, I won't be doing all that. So I've been splitting my time with Love Island UK and also Vanderpump Rules. I'm like belly button deep in Vanderpump Rules at this point. We are 5 seasons in. I think I'm like halfway through season 5 of Vanderpump. And it is, again, too good. Can't say it enough. I've literally barely watched any movies the past couple months because I've been so deep in reality land. Like usually, I would get my movie watching in at night before bed. I would always, you know, I'm in this ritual of watching a piece of media before I go to bed. And for a long time, that piece of media was a feature-length film, a movie of some sort. So I was getting in hella movies. My letterbox was active as hell. But the last couple months, because I've been watching so much reality TV, I have watched significantly less movies. So, you know what? If we're going to do it, now's going to be the time, because all of the great movies are going to come out in the second half of the year and I've got to be locked in when that shit starts happening. But yeah, I'm just so deep in this reality trash. I fucking love it. I fucking love it. And can you believe there are still some people that won't give reality TV a chance? And they're like, just how can you watch that rotted nonsense? I'm like, because I like to have fun. Because I like to have fun and giggle. And not everything is so serious to me. Sorry it is to you, loser, whatever made you loser. But I saw a clip on TikTok the other day. It was a TikTok to Party For You by Charlie XCX, where people are talking about that one part in the song, the party on you, party on you, party on, what that part of the song is, what the vibe of that is. And the quote on this TikTok was, This is actually the moment Ariana was crying about missing her dad on her birthday. And Tom said, I'll always be here for you. But apparently we're like going to go crush stuff with bulldozers. And I have been thinking about that moment for weeks. For those of you that don't watch Vanderpump, I'm sure you know who Tom Sandoval and Ariana Maddox is. Now Ariana hosts Love Island US, so I guess this is coming full circle. But I'm assuming you know who Ariana and Tom are simply because of Scandoval. Even if you don't know the details of it, doesn't matter. You know that Tom Sandoval and Ariana Maddox were dating for a significant period of time. So this is a moment that happens in one of the earlier seasons of Vanderpump where Ariana's birthday is happening. And the year before, around the time of her birthday, her dad passed away. So a year passes, her birthday's here, and she's like struggling with grief around her birthday and just like, you know, spending a birthday without her dad being here. And there was a boys' trip to Vegas planned around the same time as her birthday, and they had planned to leave the day after Ariana's birthday. And Ariana talked to Tom, her boyfriend, being like, I would really appreciate it if you didn't go on the boys' trip because I'm really struggling and I love you and need your support right now. I'm struggling with grief. It's harder around the time of my birthday, yada, yada, whatever. And Tom, this big fucking loser, this big bozo with nothing but lemons in between his ears, literally, and I quote, I'll always be here for you, but like, apparently we're gonna go crush stuff with bulldozers. And I'm not fucking kidding. That is exactly how it played out in the moment. And Ariana was just like, fine. I don't know how else to explain to you. I don't know what other words to use to make you understand that that is hurtful to me. So just fuck off now because you've pissed me off. And he literally went to Vegas the next morning and they quite literally went to this place that allows you to crush stuff with bulldozers. It was like a parking lot wreck-it room, essentially, where you're just like, take into a construction site and they let you play with like excavators and bulldozers and shit. It is crazy. First of all, I don't even know why some place like that would ever exist. That is some man shit to the deepest, highest level. I can't imagine that. Like, can you imagine even wanting to do that in a general sense? Be like, you know what would be really sick today? Playing with an excavator. Well, men have said that. On social media, men have said that. And people have almost died because men said that, okay? So when will we learn? When will we learn that men should be nowhere near operating these hefty materials for fun, okay? I only want to see you operating big machinery like that if you are trained and that's your job and you're like building houses and paving roads and shit. Like, I don't want to see men playing on big machinery like that. Bad things happen when you be doing things like that. I don't want to see it. Get it off my screen. But can you imagine being in a relationship with someone, being like, I'm really struggling with grief. I need the support of my partner. And he's like, but a bulldozer. But like, me and the boys are going to go crush shit in the backyard. Me and the boys want to do parkour. So like, I'm so sorry that you're having a bad time, but like, I really have to go do a kickflip. I'm like, I am going to pull all of my hair out strand by strand. And the craziest part is as I'm watching Vanderpump, I'm like, this is a theory of mine, a working theory, but I feel like some people might not like reality TV because they would watch an episode like that one where Tom and Ariana are, you know, having this conflict because Tom wants to go play with a bulldozer. I think there are a lot of people out there that might not be able to watch an episode of Vanderpump like that without confronting the fact that they're currently dating a man who would do the same thing to them. Or has done the same thing to them. And if they watch that episode of Vanderpump, knowing that like this is a piece of media that is designed to entertain us with like the worst people on earth cast in this show, they can go online and learn whatever the discourse was to witnessing a man treat his partner like this. And they might learn that the majority of people think that is fucking crazy. And that might be hard for them to realize that the majority of us would look at their boyfriend and point and laugh okay? If you are currently dating a man who would ditch you in moments of grief and hardship to play with a bulldozer, maybe we should think about this. Maybe we should, because I know that there are many people out there whose boyfriends behave exactly like Tom Sandoval in that situation. I just fear that sometimes reality TV hits a little too close to home for these people. So they have to be like, no, reality TV sucks. These people are crazy. But it's like, I think maybe it's because if you watched it, you would have to acknowledge that your boyfriend behaves the same way and that maybe he should hit up one of these casting directors because they've got work for him. They've got some projects to hire him on, babe. Like, we're all over here shitting on Tom Sandoval. Meanwhile, you've got a Shmom Schmandoval sitting right next to you on the couch while you're watching and you're like, fuck, this guy is just like that. This guy in my home that I do life with behaves just like that. And sometimes you can't admit it until you watch it happen to someone else. And I just fear reality TV would force too many of you to confront that truth. But you closing your eyes to the fact that your boyfriend would choose a bulldozer over you is not doing anyone any favors. So funny, though. So fucking funny. There's a new quote from Vanderpump that I get fixated on every single week. This week, it's
more cosmopolitans, pumptini.
I'm going to be doing that the whole time when I'm in Greece. Every time I need to order a drink, I'm just going to call it a pumptini. I don't care what it is. Just bring me my juice, my pumptini. I don't care if it's a glass of Pinot Grigio, if it is an Aperol Spritz, if it is fucking, it doesn't matter. It's all pumptinis to me. It could be a beer and it's still a pumptini. I would never drink a beer, but I'm just saying. What pumptini means is actually entirely subjective and it's whatever you want it to be in the moment. So anyways, in conclusion, if your boyfriend would choose a bulldozer over you, I've got news for you. It's time to watch Vanderpump. Remember that doctor's appointment you said you were supposed to make kind of a while ago? Not to clock you, but I feel like it's been maybe a couple months now. You know, the doctor's appointment that you were supposed to make, but just completely forgot about, or have maybe even purposefully been putting off until this very moment. Maybe a dentist appointment for your biannual cleaning, or a dermatologist appointment to get that mole checked out that you've been looking at funky for a couple months. I know, we've all pushed off doctor's appointments at some point in our lives, but why not book it today? Especially because ZocDoc makes it easy to find the right doctor right now. And it's all online. You might even be able to book an appointment by the end of this ad read. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. With ZocDoc, you can book in-network appointments with over 100,000 doctors across all specialties. From mental health to dental health, primary care to urgent care, dermatology, and so much more. You can filter for doctors who take your insurance, are located nearby, and are a good fit for any specific medical need you may have. Once you find the right doctor, you're able to see their actual appointment openings and click to book a time that works for you. And appointments made through ZocDoc typically happen fast, with most happening between 24 and 72 hours of booking. And sometimes you may even be able to score same-day appointments. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/emotionallyonline to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/emotionallyonline. ZocDoc.com/emotionallyonline. I saw a video on TikTok yesterday that was literally just videos of a bunch of various couples being cutie in the park with the caption over it that said, "I'm not in love right now, but watching it unfold all around me feels like a promise." And this is the perspective. I know I don't gotta sell you guys on it because this is like so lover girl coded, it's crazy, but I love to see takes like this circulating on social media. Like, so often I log onto any fucking social media app and I leave angry. So I love when I log onto a social media app and consume a piece of content that I'm like, yeah, and that, let me repost that bitch, let me say it again. And the second I saw that, I was like, exactly. But I feel like all too often there is this like image of singlehood and how single people feel about couples portrayed online, where it's like, oh yeah, single people hate to see couples like super in love and all over each other because it makes them feel sad and left out and bitter, and I'm gonna go sit at home with my pint of Ben and Jerry's and cry into it and whatever. Like, it's this painting of singlehood that is very pathetic, honestly, that I have never resonated with, and I would jump to assume that many other single people do not resonate with this image of what singlehood is. In fact, if you want my take, I think that that image of singlehood is something that only people who are scared to be alone resonate with. I don't think that people who have healthy relationships with themselves and with interpersonal relationships with dating think that way. I think the only way that you would think that that was really hidden and that that was like the true single experience, and that, you know, when you see couples in love, you feel bitter and angry and sad and you just want to go home and sit on your couch and cry into your Ben and Jerry's. I'm like rolling my eyes as I say that, but that is the storyline they feed us. I think if that resonates with you, you have to be by default pretty insecure. To look at other people's joy, to look at love, to look at love that other people are experiencing just because you aren't included in that in this very moment, to look at them with any kind of like bitterness or resentment or anger, that comes from an insecure place. Now, that's not to say it isn't normal. We all deal with insecurities, and sometimes maybe you will be in an era where it upsets you, but that's not you behaving as your best self or your most self-actualized self, your most confident self. Like, we should not be aspiring to behave the way that our insecure selves behave. You know what I mean? And so I think that it's so awesome when people go on social media and they actually write things that make so much fucking sense and that feel awesome, that make other people feel awesome, and that are just so deeply true to the lover girl lifestyle, which is that seeing people in love should make you feel more hopeful, should make you feel like it is out there for you, should make you feel like love is a promise, to watch it unfold around you with all these other people, whether it's strangers or family members, friends, whoever it is. Like, to see it in others is to know that it exists for you too. And I have empathy for the like perspective of, you know, feeling bitterness or jealousy when seeing other people in love, but know that that's not a feeling that you have to accept as a permanent one. And I love to see people that I love be loved well by other people because they are fantastic and I love them. And I want to see them be so well supported and celebrated and lifted up in this lifetime. To know them is to love them. And it is always a joy to see people that I love so wrapped up by other people, may it be friendship or familiar relationships or a partner. It doesn't really matter. Like, I want to see people that I love loved well, regardless of what kind of love it is. And like, there should be something comforting to you seeing someone that you love that also loves you be loved well. You know, like looking at my best friends, these are people that I look at and like think that they put the moon in the fucking sky. They are people who are so special to me that I think are so deeply lovable, are just incredible. I could write essays about all the reasons why I love my best friends. And I trust that they could do the same for me, that they could write essays about all the things they love about me. And to see someone that I love so deeply, who I know loves me so deeply, be loved well by someone else almost feels like a promise. The way this person worded it is so specific. Like, when I don't know if this visual is going to make sense to anybody else or like click for you, but when I think of me and my friends, I think of us like, you know, doing like a pinky promise to each other, and we're like tied up, we're locked together. We're like, imagine like two slimes just like totally merged together. Like, I imagine me and my friends just like totally intertwined with each other. And then when someone loves my friend, who I am so deeply intertwined with, it feels like the universe being like, and you too soon. And by the way, this is coming for you too, because this is someone that you are so intertwined with, that loves you, that vouches for you, that would write essays about how wonderful you are as well. And if there is love out there for them, if the world sees how beautiful and wonderful they are, then the world sees how beautiful and wonderful you are too. Because here we are. We're so intertwined with each other. We're so attached to each other. There are parts of us that are the same as much as there are parts of us that are different. But like to see it in other people, specifically people close to you, should be like deep affirmation to you that it's coming for you too. You know? I think that we'd all be much happier if we allowed witnessing love to inspire us and give us joy rather than make us feel bitter or resentful or jealous or, you know, just making us feel like because all these other people have it, they're somehow taking it away from us, which is not true. One of my friends is engaged right now, one of my like longest friends. And last week I went to her engagement photos with her and her fiance, and I just, you know, helped out, held bags, hung around during the photo shoot. And so I spent several hours in the afternoon just walking around watching them take pictures. And the whole time I just was sitting there so reflective and so excited. Like, we were girls together. We were, you know, in the seventh grade, being menaces at dance class, going to Cumberland Farms before our hip hop dance class, getting these massive blue slushies, drinking them all in, you know, a matter of minutes, walking into dance class with our mouths just stained blue from this disgusting drink, and then bouncing around for an hour. I remember us making silly music videos together, just being absolute menaces, doing the chubby bunny challenge, putting Mentos in Coke in her driveway. Like, I remember us being so just like classic silly teenage girls together. And now here she is, engaged to be married to someone that is so right for her. And that makes me feel so happy for her. To see her in love, to see her and her fiance look so great in these photos, and just like celebrating what makes their relationship so special. That's a beautiful thing to witness as a friend. And recently I was in a social setting where someone asked me if I was in a relationship. And I find that sometimes people can be kind of weird about this question. Like, they ask you, oh, are you in a relationship? Are you dating anyone? And mind you, I was surrounded when this happened. I was surrounded by people who are in relationships. They're like, oh, are you also in a relationship? And I am someone who I refuse to be self-deprecating. In general, I pretty much refuse to be self-deprecating, but especially like to make other people more comfortable. And they asked me if I was in a relationship, and I was like, oh no, I'm not. End of sentence. I don't say anything else. Even though socially, a lot of times people expect you to, you know, make some kind of joke about you being single, because they expect you to be uncomfortable with the fact that you are the one single person talking to people in relationships. Ask me if I'm in a relationship. I say, oh no, I'm not. And they go, oh, don't worry, it'll happen for you. And my gut response was to go, oh, I'm not worried. My therapist was like, good for you. But it is interesting and frustrating to me how people, they kind of expect you to have a problem with it, or they expect you to be unhappy. They expect you to be, you know, feeling sad or left out or resentful or bitter in some way. And I'm just like deeply into the rebranding of solitude, the rebranding of how single people view love and relationships, because I just find it to be inaccurate and deeply rooted in being insecure rather than being single. You know what I mean? I was like, no, I'm not worried. I just hate that it's almost like you're expected to be self-deprecating to make other people comfortable because they would be uncomfortable with being single, even though you're not. And I'm like, well, I actually don't want to behave like that. And I don't want to lean into it. And I think it's bad. And I just, yeah, I think that there is more single people that don't relate to that kind of narrative or mindset than people that are, even though it gets like the most airtime. I don't get it. I don't fucking get it. But I did like that TikTok. I'm not in love right now, but watching it unfold around me feels like a promise. And it is. And don't you ever forget that. All right, let's jump into some of these audience submissions. As a reminder, you can submit anything and everything to the audience submission box. Requests for advice, questions for me, am I the assholes? Anything going on in your life, any drama, any juice that you'd like to bring, present to us all here at The Sleepover, you are more than welcome to. Hi Maddie, I'm normally too shy to submit to a show like this, but I'm visiting with my family and they're making me feel crazy. I wanted to seek out your opinion on the matter since I always love your takes. My younger brother, 26, was talking so excitedly about he's been using ChatGPT as a therapist, and he literally used the phrase, I'm more likely to get bad advice from a person than I am from AI. Like, what? Is this crazy town USA? I feel like I'm losing my mind because everyone else just acted like this was completely normal behavior. And as a teacher and a creative writer, I'm sitting here having a panic attack about it. The older sister guilt is killing me because I feel like I somehow have to help him see how insane this is, but he just keeps comparing it to other things like the invention of the internet. It is not the same. How do you handle conversations like this? I tried to share some of the things that you spoke about on the pod in an earlier episode, but he's not being receptive, probably because his therapist is just a stupid chatbot that only tells him what he wants to hear. Specifically, I'm curious as to how you would respond to his comment that I quoted. Yeah, this is tough, and I would be having just as much like panic and like this feeling of pressure to solve it and save someone as you do. I totally get that. It is deeply distressing to me too. As you guys know, I'm very anti-AI in general, and especially anti-AI therapy and using ChatGPT as a replacement for therapy, and using it at all for a variety of purposes. But I think what's especially distressing about it is that people believe that like ChatGPT can be a great substitute for a therapist, but it cannot, because ChatGPT cannot do what humans can do. It cannot have a like true, honest emotional response. There is no room for nuance. The only thing that ChatGPT can do successfully is be a yes man and make you feel like you're in the right, and basically just stroke your ego, make you feel, I'm sure it can make you feel a little bit better, but it's not actually for your greater good as a person. It's just simply there to stroke your ego, be a yes man, and sort of feed into whatever perspective or like attitude slant that your message inputted into the system. But I was watching a TikTok video the other day that I'll link below in this podcast episode, where they were basically experimenting with talking to ChatGPT as if you were someone going through like a period of psychosis. This person was talking to ChatGPT from the perspective of someone that seems to believe that a major celebrity is one of their friends. And the advice that ChatGPT was giving this person in this fake scenario was one that encouraged the stalking and the parasocial behavior and probably would have pushed them deeper into psychosis. ChatGPT cannot do what a therapist does. If you're looking for a yes man, if you're looking for a robot that can't really critically analyze the stories you're telling it for all of the various nuances, not only in what you're actually writing, but in how the words that you're using and the way you're choosing to talk about things may or may not manipulate the situation. The AI doesn't fucking know. It is literally just spitting back at you whatever it is that you want to hear. It might be interesting to show your brother the video that I'm going to link in the description of this video, to show him that ChatGPT actually is not a great replacement for a therapist. But when you said the quote, "I'm more likely to get bad advice from a person than I am from AI," I think if I heard someone close to me say that, I would want to dig deeper. Rather than reacting and being like, "What? That's an insane take," I would want to understand what has happened to them to make them believe that that could be true. Like, I'm more likely to get bad advice from a person than I am from AI. So why do you think that? Have you gotten super bad advice from some friends in the past that's sort of informing and tainting your belief here? Has your brother gone to a therapist before that wasn't a great fit and this is pushing him to believe that? Like, what is the thing that is making you believe that a robot can be more fair to you than other people can? Because that to me signifies that there's probably a deeper hurt involved there somewhere. To trust a robot over people and be convinced that that is somehow true, that robots can be kinder and more generous to you than people, that opinion doesn't come out of nowhere. To me, there has to be some kind of hurt stored away deep inside that would force someone to believe something like that. Maybe they didn't feel supported by a previous therapist, or they had a couple friends they felt really judged by and they got bad advice from, and, you know, whatever it is. I just don't think that someone wakes up one day and is like, people just don't get me, but the robots do. Like, I think it comes from a place of hurt. And I think I would be more interested in trying to understand where that hurt comes from and to be an example of what it means to be a good friend, a good support system to this person in my life, to try to show them that that's not true through, like, my own actions. You know, you can and should have people who support you, and should be more significant supports to you than AI. AI really shouldn't be a part of your support system at all, because AI cannot give you genuinely critical, nuanced, accurate feedback the way that a therapist or even a best friend or a parent could give you. AI is not a replacement for therapy. And if you are currently using it for therapy, I promise you that bot is just affirming you and spitting everything back at you and keeping you locked into this little bubble where you don't ever actually have to self-reflect or do any kind of meaningful change, because the bot's never really going to question you in any substantial way. That's not to say that ChatGPT can't deliver bad news. You know, if you type into ChatGPT, "I fucking hate my brother. Should I shoot him with a gun?" ChatGPT is going to tell you, "Hey, no, probably not. Probably don't do that." But when you're looking into more nuanced situations, when you're asking for feedback on things that are more complicated, as so much of the human experience is, you're not going to be able to get a nuanced response from ChatGPT. It's just going to tell you whatever it is that you want to hear. And I think that the example of someone who is, like, in psychosis and believes that this celebrity is actually a friend of theirs is a great example of why ChatGPT should never be used as a therapist. Like, sometimes you might be a little delusional and you might be behaving a little cuckoo bananas, and ChatGPT is not going to tell you that you are. It's going to tell you exactly what it is that you want to hear. But ultimately, I would be more curious about the root cause that has forced your brother to believe something like this. I'd be interested about that first. So that's it for today's episode. As a quick reminder, I will be in Greece next week. There will be an episode published, but it will be a Patreon episode from a couple months ago that I'm going to post publicly on here. So for all the non-Patreon viewers of the pod, there will be a fresh episode to you going live next week. It'll just be one that I recorded a couple months ago. And to Patreon listeners, there will still be an after show next week that I'm about to record right now. So if you'd like to watch this week's after show, you can by joining us over on the Patreon. So I'm going to go throw it on over to the post show. I love you guys so much. Thank you so much for watching and listening. And I'll see you in my next episode. Goodbye.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.